We'll turn again in God's Word, please, to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Let's look to the Lord in a wee word of prayer before the preaching of the Word tonight. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the beautiful hymns that we have been singing. We thank you, Lord, for their focus on the death of Christ and his glorious resurrection. We praise thee, Lord, that at this time of the year, we know we can't pinpoint an exact date, but we know that it was the 15th day of the month Nisan in the Jewish calendar. And we know that it was in the springtime when Jesus died and 3 days later rose again. And we pray tonight as we preach this glorious gospel of everlasting hope and peace that thou wilt give to me help. Lord, clothe the outer man with strength and authority and help. And, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt use the words that we speak to minister to the souls of each one here assembled to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My text for tonight is found in verse 40 of Matthew chapter 12. For as Jonas, or Jonah, was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. My subject tonight is Jonah, a type of Jesus Christ. We've been preaching the gospel from the Old Testament characters who, in their life, generally, or some specific matter in their life, sets forth in type or a picture beforehand the work of the Lord Jesus Christ when he would come to this earth. Now, the words of verse 40 were spoken by Jesus himself. Hundreds of years after Jonah lived, was swallowed by the whale, went to Nineveh and eventually died, the Lord speaks about him. And that tells us that Jonah was a real person. He was not, and the story of Jonah is not a fairy tale, a myth, or some mythical legend that religious men picked up on and incorporated into the Bible. No, Jonah was a real man. And the story of Jonah is true because Jesus confirms not only his being and his existence, but the very fact that the events that happened to Jonah in the book of Jonah were true. Now, the Lord spoke these words in response to the Pharisees asking for a sign. You'll see it there in verse 38. Certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." What they're really saying is, "We will not believe that you are Christ. We will not believe that you are the Son of God. We will not believe that you are the Messiah until and unless we see a specific sign from you." Now just stop and think about that for a moment. For the desire from the Pharisees in themselves was farcical. We might say it was, in fact, if they were here and they said such things today, we would say, "Are you having a laugh? You must be joking. You can't be serious." The Lord Jesus Christ had already opened the eyes of the blind. The Lord Jesus Christ had already made the lame to walk. Men who had been on a bed for years and couldn't walk, and the Lord had said, "Rise up and walk," and he got up and walked, and better than that, the Lord Jesus had gone down into the graveyard, as it were. He met the coffin of the young man of Nain, the bar coming to him, and he touched it and he said, "Young man, arise." And the young man sat up from the bar of the coffin and he returned home with his mother. He raised the dead, he healed the sick, he cast out devils. He had done sign after sign after sign, and now they come and say, "We're asking another sign. We'll not believe you." Now he tells them, there's no, and I believe the sense is this. In verse 39, when it says, "There shall no sign be given," what the Lord is saying, there's no other sign being given. He'd already healed the sick and raised the dead, and he's saying there's no other sign being given but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And then he speaks these words of our text, as Jonas. And he makes a comparison, a likeness. As Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man, the Christ, the Messiah, be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. I don't want to get too far sidetracked tonight, but let me just say in passing, this verse answers the question for us as to which day of the week Jesus was crucified and died. The tradition, and it's, I wouldn't say observed, not within evangelical and Protestant circles, but it is observed and put forth in many circles, and it really emanated from the Church of Rome, that Jesus was crucified on the Friday. That's why they call it Good Friday. And the reason, one reason why it was said that Jesus was crucified and died on the Friday was because the Gospels, Mark, Luke, and John, they all state that the day after his crucifixion was a Sabbath day. And they didn't want to leave him on the cross on a Sabbath day, so they appealed for his body to be taken down, that it might be taken and buried. And the Sabbath in Christ's day was a Saturday, was the seventh day of the week. And so the assumption is that Jesus died on the Friday because the next day was the Sabbath. However, if he was crucified and he died on the Friday, then he would not have been in the grave 3 days and three nights, or three part days and three part nights. At best, it was three parts of days and two parts of the night, or nights. He would have been in the grave part of the Friday, part of the Saturday, part of the Sunday, but only part of the Friday night, all of the Saturday night, but not any part of any other night, which means he would have only been in the grave for two nights or two parts of the night. And the fact that Jesus said he would be in the grave 3 days and three nights, or three parts of the day and three parts of the night, which was the understanding in Judaism, then we believe that he was crucified on the Thursday. So what about the Sabbath the day after? Well, it was the Passover. And there were two Sabbaths that week. There was the weekly Sabbath, the seventh day. It was always the Sabbath. But the Passover was always the 15th day of the month Nisan. And no matter what day of the week it fell on, whether it was the first, second, third day, it was always observed as a ceremonial Sabbath, an extra Sabbath. And so we believe that Jesus died on the Thursday. The Friday was the ceremonial Sabbath. The Saturday was the weekly Sabbath. The Sunday was the first day of the week when he rose from the grave. And that means he was in the grave 3 days and three nights, or three parts of the night. The Thursday, the Friday, and the Saturday. And here's the likeness. I'm only saying that in passing to show you that this is a wonderful text. And it explains so much, but you'll see within it that while it answers the question about which day of the week Jesus was crucified on, or at least hints and suggests it wasn't the Friday. The primary reason why Jesus spoke these words was to show that Jonah, in being swallowed by the whale, typified the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll see the comparison very clearly. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And I want to say to you this evening that there are three ways in which Jonah typifies the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say to you firstly that Christ's death is foreshadowed in Jonah. The whale's belly symbolizes or foreshadows the grave. Look at verse 40 again. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The heart of the earth is taken for the tomb or the grave. And as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, the grave. He would die. Now, I don't believe that Jonah died in the whale's belly. There are some modern evangelicals who try to suggest that. I have major difficulties with that. And again, I'm not going to get sidetracked tonight. I do not believe that Jonah died in the whale's belly. Just as Isaac didn't die on the altar on Mount Moriah, but he's still a type of the Lord and his sacrifice and his death. I don't believe that Jonah actually died in the whale's belly, but it is clear that the whale's belly is a symbol of the grave. And let me say this to you. What I do know is this, that if God had not intervened in Jonah's circumstances, being swallowed by the whale, if the Lord hadn't have intervened and the whale vomited Jonah onto dry land, then the whale's belly would have become Jonah's actual grave, and Jonah would have actually died in the whale's belly if God hadn't intervened. And so therefore it is a fitting type of the fact that Jesus Christ would go down into death. The whale's belly, Jonah was taken down to the depths. The whale's belly was darkness. I was speaking to a colleague during the week. He phoned me to ask me how I was. And he was asking me, was I preaching this weekend? I was telling him what I was preaching on. He said, you know, I remember as a child, and you going to the children's meeting, and there were flashcards, pictures of Jonah, and we heard the story of Jonah in the whale, and he says there was one of Jonah in the whale's belly, and he had a wee candle, and so that you could see him, and he says, you know how unrealistic it was. Well, let me just say, if any of the children, or maybe the adults can remember that, you've seen it too, there was no candle in the whale's belly, it was darkness, and the grave is dark, and the grave is deep, and death takes you to the depths, the heart of the earth. What I can say is this, that as Jonah went down into the depths and into the darkness, signifying the grave, let me say that Jesus really, actually, truly died. He was cut off out of the land of the living. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He died. And he made his grave with the wicked with the rich in his debt, Joseph of Arimathea begged his body, and Pilate gave leave, and he took the body down, and him and Nicodemus, they anointed it with oil and spices, and he laid it in the rich man's tomb. And he really and truly tasted death. Paul said he tasted death for every man. He died. And he went down into the grave. And there his body lay for 3 days and 3 nights. Now there's something remarkable. And I want you to see this. And I want you to get it. And I want you to understand it. There's something remarkable about how Jonah's time in the depths of the sea in the whale's belly foreshadows Christ's death. It's remarkable. Do you remember that Jonah was on the boat? Jonah chapter 1, he ran away from God. God called him to Nineveh. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He despised the people of Nineveh because they hated the Jews and worked against the people of Israel. And he didn't want to go. And he went down to Joppa, a seaport north of Israel. And he got on a ship going to Tarshish in Spain, the opposite direction. And what happened? The Lord sent a big storm. And the crewmen in the boat, they threw out and they all their cargo and their luggage and everything else, their everything they had in the boat to lighten it, to save the ship from going down. And nothing they did worked. And eventually Jonah said, I'm the problem. And if you want to be saved from this storm, you need to pick me up and throw me into the sea. And at first they were reluctant, but eventually they had no other option. Why had they no other option? Had they not picked Jonah up and threw him overboard into the sea and the whale swallowed him and him go down into the depths? That ship was going to sink and those sailors were going to perish in the Mediterranean Sea. They were going to die. But when they picked Jonah up and they cast him overboard and the whale swallowed him and he went down into the depths in the whale's belly, the Bible says in Jonah 1, the storm ceased and the shipmen were saved. What a wonderful picture of the death of Jesus Christ. Because my friend, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ going down by death, shedding his blood upon the cross and going down into the grave, you would perish in your sins and you would face the storm of God's wrath and judgment for your sin and you would perish. And if you're in the meeting and you've no certain assurance of eternal life, your sins have not been forgiven, let me tell you, you will perish in your sin. You are in danger of the storm of God's judgment, and when death comes, you will perish in a lost sinner's hell. But Jesus Christ, he wasn't thrown overboard of a ship. He was nailed to a cross. He was hung in the tree. He shed his blood and he died. And he went into the heart of the earth to save you from perishing in hell. And I tell you, Christ's death, it's foreshadowed in Jonah being cast into the sea and swallowed by the whale. I want you to look back at Matthew chapter 12. I want you to see not only is Christ's death foreshadowed in the story of Jonah, but Christ's resurrection is foreshadowed in the story of Jonah. Verse 40 intimates that as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah was only 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. We say only. I'm sure every second felt like an eternity. What an experience. Was he conscious the whole time? I don't know. He was conscious some of the time because he prayed. But I'm sure it seemed like an eternity. But after 3 days and three nights, God did a miracle. Jonah chapter 2 verse 10 tells us the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. God is over all creation. See the animal kingdom? The animal kingdom's under the power and dominion of God. He is sovereign over all. And when he decrees to shut the lion's mouths in Daniel's den, the lion's mouths are shut. When he decrees that a whale will swim up the Mediterranean Sea and swallow the servant of the Lord, the whale will do it. When he tells the whale to vomit out the servant of the Lord on the dry land, the whale will do it. And when he tells the lion and the lamb to lie down together, they'll do it. When he tells the bird to eat straw like an ox, the bird will do it. Creation is under the control and sovereign power of God. He is Lord over all. And after 3 days and three nights, he moved that big fish to vomit out Jonah onto the dry land. And that's exactly what happened. And Jonah came forth from what should and could have been his grave, but he came forth very much alive. And so the verse intimates that Jesus Christ would only be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And as Jonah came alive from the whale's belly, so Jesus Christ, after 3 days and three nights, would come forth from the tomb, alive and alive for any evermore. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor o'er the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. And the point is this, that Jonah was resurrected from the whale's belly by the power of God and shown by God openly and publicly to the people that he was alive to prove that he is God over all. Jonah came forth. And he went forth to Nineveh. And the people could see he's alive, and the sailors could testify. No, he was thrown to the depths. He was swallowed by the whale. But he's alive. He's there. And he was resurrected from the whale's belly by the power of the Lord to show forth openly God is Lord over all. And so with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus was brought forth from the tomb by the power of God and shown openly to prove that God had accepted his sacrifice on behalf of sinners and that he was alive forevermore, having conquered death, the enemy of mankind. Listen to the words of Acts 10, 39 and 40. Whom they slew and hanged on a tree. That's Jesus Christ. Him God raised up from the dead and showed him openly. That's what Samuel preached on this morning. Didn't raise the Lord from the dead and us have to rely on one or two who their testimony was maybe debatable. No, when the Lord raised him up, he showed him to Mary and to Peter and to John and the disciples, those disciples, and Thomas was there. He said, unless I see his hands and his feet and the nail print in his hand, I will not believe. And yet Thomas did believe because the Lord showed himself openly. And then he showed himself to 500 witnesses at once. 500 can testify Yes, the one they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross. The one they drove the spear into his side to pierce his heart, and out came blood and water, who died on the cross. The one who Joseph anointed his body for the burial. He's alive. I've seen him. I've spoken to him. I've heard him. He's alive. The Lord showed him openly to testify that death has been conquered. And friends, that's the message of the resurrection. Yes, he was raised for our justification. Yes, in his resurrection, we have spiritual resurrection. But the core message of the resurrection is that death has been defeated. Death is every man's enemy. I don't care whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you're a Catholic or a Protestant, you're a white man or a black man. I don't care, my friend, whether you're a rich man or a poor man. We have all one thing in common. Death is our enemy, and death will come for us all. Why? Because death is the consequence of sin. And because all have sinned, all will die. And death robs us of life. It robs us of physical life. And all that we know in this world, we'll take our body to the grave and turn it to dust. But in the resurrection, Jesus Christ conquered death. He did not suffer as Holy One to see corruption, but rather he rose from the grave, and he has conquered death for all who will trust in him. Listen again to the words of Paul. 1 Corinthians 15, 22 and 23, as in Adam all die. All of Adam's seed will die because all of Adam's seed are sinners. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And that's not just spiritual life, eternal life in the soul. That when the body dies, the soul goes to heaven. That's physical life. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Because he says every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. And afterward, they that are Christ that is coming. Dear friends, see that body of yours, you look in the mirror every day and you see it's getting older. And you try to get out of bed every day and you feel it's getting older. And you go to bend over to pick something up and you know it's getting older, for it's creaking. My, that body, it's growing old and it's decaying. And one day it will give up the ghost and it will return to dust. But when Jesus comes, because he has conquered death, even so all in him shall be made alive. They'll rise from the grave and will be forever young with a glorified body like unto his body. That shall never grow old, shall never be sick, shall never decay, because we will be given a body like unto his glorious body. You can conquer death, but only through Christ. And the question is this: are you in Christ? Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Are you in Christ? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Has there been a time in your life's experience you've repented of your sin and by faith trusted the Lord Jesus? That's what it means to be in Christ. And it's only those in him that will conquer and triumph over death. The death of Christ is foreshadowed in Jonah, going down into the belly of the whale. The resurrection of Christ is foreshadowed in Jonah coming forth from the belly of the whale. Let me say, Christ's ministry is foreshadowed in Jonah and the whale. Let me just refer you to verse 41 as we close tonight. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. Jonah was the disobedient prophet. Oh, listen, we could preach at least another sermon and maybe more on the disobedient prophet. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, but after he was resurrected from the whale's belly, what did he do? He went to Nineveh. And he preached to the Gentile people there that they must repent of their sin and get right with God. Those were a people that hated the Lord. They hated God's people. They persecuted Israel. And yet when Jonah preached repent, they repented. They got right with God. And God received them and pardoned them and accepted them. And it tells me that people today can hate God and hate God's people. But if they hear the preaching of the Word of God and they repent, the Lord will forgive them. The Lord will accept them. The Lord will save them. The Lord will receive them. There's hope for the sinner. You know, just as Jonah was resurrected from the whale's belly and was sent forth to a Gentile people, when Jesus was resurrected from the grave, he came to his disciples, and what did he say? Did he say, "Go ye into all Israel and preach the gospel"? Well, he did, but that's not how he put it, and he didn't stop there. He gathered them together and he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Start at Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, but go to the uttermost parts of the earth." And after the resurrection of Jesus, the focus of the gospel centered on the Gentile people. Just as Jonah, after he was brought forth from the whale's belly, ministered to a Gentile people, so upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel was to go to the Gentile nations, and there the Savior would be sought or found of a people that sought him not. And many of the Gentiles would be gathered into the kingdom of God. I close with this contrast. The men of Nineveh hadn't heard the gospel until Jonah came to their city. And when he preached it for the first time, they repented. They got right with God. And the Lord received them and accepted them. The men of Christ's day had heard the gospel on many, many occasions, but refused to heed it and refused to repent. And the Lord said, "The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with that generation and will condemn it." And maybe there's someone here tonight and you've heard the gospel many, many times, and yet you've rejected it. What a sad thing it would be if the men of Nineveh at the day of judgment rose up and, having accepted the gospel the first time they heard it, they will condemn you for your rejection of Christ. And though you've heard it many times, you will perish. We exhort you tonight, in the death of Christ there is salvation from sin. In the resurrection of Christ, there is victory over the tomb and over the grave. And in the ministry of Christ, there is an invitation to you, a Gentile sinner. Repent and be converted, and your sins shall be blotted out. May it be so in your experience, and may the Lord bless his word.